Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 15, we're on text number 10 today. Dravya Jagnai Yakshamanam Dristva Bhutani Bibhyati Esha Ma Akarunaha Hanyat Atatgya He Asutrip Dhruvam Dravya Yagna Yakshamanam Drisva Bhutani Bibhyati Esha Makaruno Hanyad Atajgno He Asutrip Dhruvam Dravya Yagna Yakshamanam Drisva Bhutani Bibhyati Esha Makaruno Hanyad Atajgyo Hi Asutrip Dhruvam Dravya Yagna Yakshamanam Drisva Bhutani Bibhyati Esha Makaruno Hanyad Atajgyo Hi Asutrip Dhruvam Dhristva Bhutani Bibhyati Esha Makaruno Hanya Atajyo Hi Asutrip Dhruvam Dravya Yagna Yakshamanam Dhristva Bhutani Bibhyati Esha Makaruno Hanya Atajgno Hi Asutrip Dhruvam Atajgno Hi Asutrip Dhruvam Dravya Yagnai Yakshamanam Drisva Bhutani Bibhyati Esha Makaruno Hanyad Atajgyo Hi Asutrip Dhruvam Matajis Dravya Yagna Yakshamanam Dristva Bhutani Bibhyati Esha Makaruno Hanyad Atajgno Hi Asutrip Dhruvam Dravya Yagnai with animals and other eatable things. Yakshya, manam, the person engaged in such sacrifices. Dristva, by seeing. Bhutani, the living entities, animals, bibhyati, become afraid, esha, this person, the performer of sacrifice, ma, us, akurana, akur, excuse me, akarunaha, who is inhumane and merciless. Hanyat will kill. Atatgya, most ignorant. He, indeed, Asutrip, who is most satisfied by killing others. Dhruvam, certainly. The translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Upon seeing the person engaged in performing the sacrifice, animals meant to be sacrificed are extremely afraid, thinking, this merciless performer of sacrifices, being ignorant of the purpose of sacrifice and being most satisfied by killing others, will surely kill us. Please repeat. Upon seeing the person engaged in performing the sacrifice, animals meant to be sacrificed are extremely afraid, thinking, this merciless performer of sacrifices, being ignorant of the purpose of sacrifice, and being most satisfied by killing others, will surely kill us. Purport. Animal sacrifice in the name of religion is current practically all over the world, in every established religion. It is said that Lord Jesus Christ, when 12 years old, was shocked to see the Jews sacrificing birds and animals in the synagogues, and that he therefore rejected the Jewish system of religion and started the religious system of Christianity, adhering to the Old Testament commandment, thou shalt not kill. At the present day, however, not only are animals killed in the name of sacrifice, but the killing of animals has increased enormously because of the increasing number of slaughterhouses, slaughtering animals either for religion or for food, is most abominable and is condemned herein. Unless one is merciless, one cannot sacrifice animals, either in the name of religion or for food. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Giranjana Shalaka Chakshu Ummilitam Jinitas Mayasri Gurave Namaha. Mancha Kalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sindhavivita Paridhanam Pabhanibhya Vaishnavibhya Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pabhunichananda Siyadvaiti Gadadha Sivasri Gorbhatta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we have been hearing about sacrifices for the last several days. And I kind of was thinking, wow, this is pretty amazing. Today is Thanksgiving Day. And here we have this amazing translation and purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kind of apropos, you might say. But the heading is Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. So when we read this section of Bhagavatam, we are to learn what it means to be a civilized human being. And then when you look around you and you see people that you know, maybe some of your own family members and people that you consider to be somewhat looked upon as being great, and we can see they're not even civilized human beings. Pretty startling kind of awakening. It's kind of like anybody that has money or wealth or fame are considered to be the most eloquent of human beings. Like this, just like you take Michael Jordan. He was idolized, loved by millions and millions of people around the world. And according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he doesn't even achieve the level of civilized human being because of these atrocities. And we see that Bhagavad Gita describes such individuals. Namam duskritino mudha prapajante naradama mayaya pita jnana asurim bhavim asritaha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that miscreants, there's different types of people. There's miscreants, there's the grossly foolish, those that are lowest among mankind, and those who partake of atheistic demoniac activity. These are individuals that are considered to be uncivilized human beings. And here in the Bhagavatam, we're reading about this process of killing, sacrificing, and how it's predominant in society in the past and even in the present day. So today, so many people are coming together of all faiths, and the centerpiece of their coming together is a dead carcass, a dead turkey. So I decided to look on the internet a little bit and find some things that they say about this stuff. And it says that per person average responsible for suffering and the death, each individual person in a lifetime of, let's say, I think it said 75 years. I didn't write it down, but in the course of a person's life, each individual in America, according to the statistics, that each person up to the age of 75 years old is responsible for the killing of 15,000 individual animals. That's over just a 75-year period. So when you see a person walking down the street, the average is that that person will be responsible for 15,000 living entities to be killed, butchered, slaughtered. It says per person average, the suffering and the death is of 28 land animals and an estimated 175 sea animals per year. It's amazing when you add up the statistics. It's like if you're a devotee and you chant 16 rounds a day, you just think, oh, that's, you know. But then if you add up those 16 a day times a year, times, you know, 30 years or 40 years, you come up with a phenomenal number. So we see that the amount of atrocity that goes on in this idea of eating and killing. It says that 8.9 billion animals were killed in 2005. And in 2011, 8.2 billion animals were slaughtered in America alone. And this doesn't include anything that was shipped into America. This is just in America alone, just in this land. 8.2 billion living entities were slaughtered to eat. That doesn't count how many animals. They said that it's countless in terms of like animals they use to do experiments with, you know, drugs and things. They said it could be like between 17 million, 15 million to 100 million animals killed just for the purposes of what shaving cream is good about, or razor blades, or perfume. And this is how many living entities are being slaughtered continually. So, just reading this particular thing here inclined me to do that. And I was just shocked, stunned, the amount of killing that goes on in the world. In the world, it's practically 60 billion animals murdered annually in the world. 60 billion. How many human beings are there? 6 billion, 10 times. You can imagine. Can you imagine that? 60 billion living entities are being butchered. And if we have, I mean, you know, there are certain groups that really make it their mission, their life's mission, to broadcast this. It's not that we're professing that. We don't want everybody to go out and start carrying signs and tell people that. It's all a question of development of knowledge and development of consciousness. And Prabhupada said that if one becomes Krishna conscious, then automatically all this happens, as you can see here. Because we're not like just vegan or we're vegetarian. That's not the end point of our activity. Neither do we actually want to profess one group against another group. But really, the real purport is that it's about Krishna consciousness. If one becomes Krishna conscious, then automatically one will not want to hurt any living entity. So we did find some things here in Prabhupada's purports. First of all, it says 45 million turkeys are going to be killed this year for Thanksgiving. And 22 million are going to be killed at Christmas. And 300 million turkeys are raised every year just for this purpose. And it says they're all given a area of 3.5 square feet to live in. 3.5. This is how much space they... And they say that they don't ever live any longer than 5 to 6 months. So from the point of their birth until the day that they die, they're in captivity. And it's atrocious. Just seeing what I saw, it's inhumane. It's completely disgusting how people are treating living entities. So Krishna, he's sent us Srila Prabhupada to awaken our eyes to this atrocity. And more people are becoming aware. So there is a little bit of a concern, as stated in the what I read in the internet. There's a concern because in the last, you might say, few years, last 2 or 3 years, because of some kind of awakening, they didn't say awakening, but they said that within the last 3 years or several years, these figures have gone down by a million, which is pretty significant in terms of their income, because this meat industry is making billions upon billions of dollars in this killing business. And we can see that here in the temple, we're very protected. We don't come across these things so often. We're very protected. We're in a situation where we don't see too much of this kind of activity going on. But this killing business is so big that how can we not wake up to this atrocity and really try to preach this Krishna consciousness movement? Not that we should go out with signages and profess all this killing, but simply by us going out and preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's of utmost importance. And this is the holiday season. And if we can get one person to stop eating meat, to see what you can save. You can save, as we said here, you can save 28 land animals and 175 sea animals in a year. Just one person. If you can get one person to stop this eating of flesh. And there are consequences. So I just want to read a little bit about what the consequences are. If you just bear with me, we'll just read a couple of things that are kind of pertaining, not kind of, but they are pertaining. It says here, according to Manu, the great author of civic codes and religious principles, even the killer of an animal is to be considered a murderer, because animal food is never meant for the civilized man, whose prime duty is to prepare himself for going back to Godhead. He says that in the act of killing an animal, there is a regular conspiracy by the party of sinners and all of them are liable to be punished as murderers, exactly like a party of conspirators who kill a human being combinedly. They are he who gives permission, he who kills the animal, he who sells the slaughtered animal, he who cooks the animal, he who administers distribution of the foodstuff, and at last, he who eats such cooked animal food are all murderers, and all of them are liable to be punished by the laws of nature. No one can create a living being despite all advancement of material science. And therefore, no one has the right to kill a living being by one's independent whims. For the animal eaters, the scriptures have sanctioned restricted animal sacrifices only, and such sanctions are there just to restrict the opening of slaughterhouses and not to encourage animal killing. The procedure under which animal sacrifice is allowed in the scriptures is good both for the animal sacrificed and the animal eaters. It is good for the animal in the sense that the sacrificed animal is at once promoted to the human form of life after being sacrificed at the altar, and the animal eater is saved from grosser types of sins. Eating meats supplied by organized slaughterhouses, which are ghastly places for breeding all kinds of material afflictions to the society, country, and the people in general. The material world is itself a place always full of anxieties, and by encouraging animal slaughter, the whole atmosphere becomes polluted more and more by war, pestilence, famine, and many other unwanted calamities. So many calamities, the tsunamis, the wars, there's war going on all the time, somewhere in the world. There's some atrocity. And here is described, and this is from the Shastra, that because these things are happening, because of all the atrocities of animal killing. And here in the Bhagavatam is describing that very nicely. Also, purport, in so-called civilized society, there's sometimes agitation against cruelty to animals. But at the same time, regular slaughterhouses are always maintained. A Vaishnava is not like that. A Vaishnava can never support animal slaughter or even give pain to any living entity. And Prabhupada goes on, at present, however, because the head of the social body is missing, it is a dead body. The head is very important, and our Krishna consciousness movement is attempting to create some brahmanas who will form the head of society. Then the administrators will be able to rule over very nicely under the instruction of the philosophers and theologians. That is, under the instructions of God-conscious people. A God-conscious brahmana would never advise opening slaughterhouses, but now the many rascals heading the government allow animal slaughter. When Maharaj Parikshit saw a degraded man trying to kill a cow, he immediately drew his sword and said, "Who are you? Why are you trying to kill this cow?" He was a real king. Nowadays, unqualified men have taken the presidential post, and although they may pose themselves as very religious, they are simply rascals. Why? Because under their noses, thousands of cows are being killed while they collect a good salary. Any leader who is at all religious should resign his post in protest of cow slaughter if cow slaughter goes on under his rule. Such people do not know that these administrators are rascals. They are suffering, and the people are also rascals because they are voting for these bigger rascals. It is Plato's view that the government should be ideal, and this is the ideal. The saintly philosopher should be at the head of the state. According to their advice, the politicians should rule. Under the protection of the politicians, the productive class should provide the necessities of life, and the labor class should help. This is the scientific division of society that Krishna advocates in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnyam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. A couple more, we'll finish. We must understand the laws of nature from the viewpoint of the Supreme Lord, who has created these laws, In his eyes, all the earth's inhabitants, whether creatures of the land, water, or air, are his sons and daughters. Yet we, the human inhabitants, the most advanced of his creatures, treat these sons and daughters with great cruelty, from the practice of animal slaughter to destruction of the rainforests. Is it any wonder that we suffer an unending series of natural disasters, wars, epidemics, famines, and the like? So read one more here, okay? Another symptom of Kali Yuga is the abominable practice of animal slaughter. In this age, animals are kept nicely sheltered, completely confident that their masters will protect them. But unfortunately, as soon as the animals are fat, they are immediately sent for slaughter. Such cruelty is condemned by the Vaishnavas, like the Vishnu Dutas. Indeed, hellish conditions of extreme suffering await the simple men responsible for such cruelty. One who betrays the confidence of a living entity, who takes shelter of him in good faith, whether that living entity be a human being or an animal, is extremely simple. Because such betrayals now go unpunished by the government, all of human society is terribly contaminated. The people of this age are therefore described as Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Yupadritaha. As a consequence of such sinfulness, men are condemned, Manda. Their intelligence is unclear, Sumanda Mataya. They are unfortunate, Manda Bhagya, and therefore they are always disturbed by many problems, Upadrutaha. This is their situation in this life, and after death they are punished in hellish conditions. So, I just wanted to read these things because this should be kind of like a opportunity for us to take the seriousness of the process of spreading Krishna consciousness. That even though you have so many people that make people aware of the slaughter of animals, and there may be vegetarians or they may be vegan, but that doesn't mean they're not a demon. Just because they don't eat meat or don't drink cow's milk, they're still demoniac because they don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. And although they may not do that simple activity, they do so many other simple activities. There are four principles that human beings must follow, those that are civilized. So, you know, there's only so many things you can say about this killing business. But really, the real bottom line is that we ourselves as devotees, we have to become more sincere in our execution of Krishna consciousness in order to teach people the real understanding of human life. So, you know, we have this temple. Here we have a buffet. And we serve out vegetarian food. It's not just for the sake of vegetarianism. Just recently, Tadit sent me a nice blog from a weekly magazine called LA Weekly. This is a very popular magazine on the West Side, I believe. It's got like 20, 30,000 subscribers to it or something like that. Isn't it? Something like that. I think it's quite large. We get a lot of good feedback from them regularly during Ratiyatra and different things. And this person just wrote a blog about Govinda's buffet. It started out pretty rough. He was kind of like in a satire way describing our decor in the restaurant: plastic spoons, knives and forks, paper plates. He said that our decor in the buffet was like being at a dentist office. And he told us that, he said in that article that the buffet looks like you're in a high school cafeteria. So he really kind of, he gave us some negative feedback. But then, after reading that, I was kind of like getting a bit disturbed. But I had to agree with him. And as he went on, then he said, but who cares, he says. Who cares about these Angelinos that want to go out and eat at a place that is glorified by Zagat? It's a place that, you know, you find out the high-end restaurants. And he said, who cares about those people? He says, you can be in the line in Govinda's And he says, it's amazing how people will wait in line and be very patient and not get angry at somebody in front of them who's trying to decide between getting some corn or some peas. And he said, no one gets disturbed. And so he said, you know, who cares about this Zagat rankings? Because Govinda's is a very special place. He said it was an awesome place. The smiling employees. And he said the wonderful food things that you can get there. And so he described all the salad bar and all the hot items. And he says, and if that's not enough, you can even get dessert. And he was going on, he was really, and he said, and then he said, but something's really going on strange at Govinda's. He said, the strangest is that, you know, it may not be the best food you've ever had. And 3 days later, you may not be thinking about the samosas and or the food itself. But he said, there's a different thing there. The different thing is the consciousness. One feels good about themselves, and one feels very satisfied about themselves. So this is what was really important. He said what? Yeah, that was very important. His last comments were, it makes one want to be a better person. And this is what this is all about. How to be a better person. It's about consciousness. So this is Krishna consciousness. And this is the potency of prasadam distribution. And it's also the potency of preaching Krishna consciousness. This is why it's so important for us to have this book marathon. Why do we have the book marathon? Why do we have the buffet? Because of things like this. It's not for some self-aggrandizement. We don't have a restaurant just to make money. For your information, when we made the restaurant, we were happy when we were making just a couple of $1,000 a week. And we were thinking, jai, hoodie bow. When we made $200 a day, we were ecstatic. Because we were seeing people come and take prasadam. So this is not about self-aggrandizement or having a business. It's about people coming to Krishna's temple and what this person wrote about in the article. It's about becoming a better person by raising one's consciousness by taking prasadam. Book distribution is not about some, beating on your head to get out there and do something. A book distribution is about raising people's awareness and consciousness. So just like we have people that are working for PETA, they work for them. These people, they go undercover and risk their lives. They risk their life. How is it? Because, you know, somebody could kill them, and somebody could damage and hurt them, or somebody could ruin their life. They could never get a job again or anything. But these people actually go undercover. And they tried to spread the message of the atrocities of animal slaughter so that we'll all become aware of it. Now, if they can be so enthusiastic and they're not even talking about God consciousness or becoming a better person, they're talking about save the animal. But see, in Krishna consciousness, that's a byproduct. If you become Krishna conscious and preach Krishna consciousness to someone, the byproduct is that you don't want to ruin or kill anyone. You don't want to do that. That's a byproduct of it. It's not the real goal. The real goal is to make that person understand Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So it's imperative for us to take advantage of these opportunities that we have here, especially in this particular season. Everyone's in a very happy mood. Even I could see all of you are in a happy mood this morning. I was saying, wow, it's the holiday season. During the kirtan and stuff. It was pretty ecstatic. And you can feel it's in the air. So why don't we take advantage of this opportunity to give someone a chance to become a better person? So when people come here to the temple, and they come in all kinds of ways and means, and why? To become a better person. And we can help them develop that. So we ourselves have to understand that the material world, it's actually a deep, dark well. It's very dark. It's very deep. It's very dark. And what is that darkness? That darkness is ignorance. People are in so much ignorance. They don't understand. You know, they're going to sit at home today, and they're going to sit in front of a carcass, and they're going to think they're happy. And they're going to, you know, they're going to have the head of the household dig into that carcass and cut a piece for everybody to eat. And there's innocent people there. They don't understand. They have no conception of the sinful activity they're being involved in. And only when they come in contact with a devotee can they have the opportunity to understand this. Really, only by the mercy of Prabhupada and his books are any of us sitting in this room and hearing what I'm saying today and kind of thinking, well, okay, I've heard that before. You know, but we don't understand the magnitude of that. The magnitude is that Krishna conscious movement can change someone's life. It can change a person's life, just like all of us have changed in this room. And this is the perfect opportunity to take advantage of that this holiday season and this book marathon. There's nothing more important than this activity. This is why Srila Prabhupada stressed this book distribution as being the most important activity, because it gives people in the comfort of their own home an opportunity to read things like this. And when they read it, it shocks them. Just like when I read in comfort of my own home about the atrocities that go on in the slaughterhouses, it shocked me. And all I could think about was, well, geez, this is all I can talk about today. The atrocities of this killing that's going on in the material world. And no wonder there's so many difficulties and so many problems in society. And now we see that our children are being affected the same way. They're doing the same thing to their children now. I mean, is that a wonder? No. It's only natural according to how they're living and what they're preaching. That, you know, you can go, you can now, which is really sad, you can go to India. And before, you know, 30 years ago when you went to India, you didn't even think of having to buy anything that might have some meat in it. But now you can go to India and you can go to the same kind of place you used to go. But you have to ask them, what's in there? What's in the, you know, nothing. And you don't know. Is there egg in there? No egg. And then later on you find, yeah, there's eggs in it. So, you know, this is the world. This is what's happening. And now India has become the number one exporter of meat. Can you imagine? Yeah, number one in the world. Isn't that incredible what's happened? And this is why it's important for us to preach the Krishna consciousness movement, to change the consciousness of these people out there today. And it's a perfect day. Today's Thanksgiving. And anyone that you see that comes here today, you should see that they're actually a pretty good person. You know, they're very good. They're a different person to give up their eating of meat and this you know, wonderful festival for them. You know, it's a big thing for them. In fact, I recall that when I became a devotee, and one of the, you know, things that my mother would say, but you're not going to be here for Thanksgiving? And no more, it's over. And she was just like stunned. It shocked her. It stunned her. But gradually, by the time we were devotees for many years, that she understood. By that association of devotees, and she understood. And that was a miraculous thing. My father worked for Jewel Food Stores for a while. And he was a distributor. He was a manager for the distribution of meat products throughout Chicagoland, you know, Chicago, Illinois. My father did that for a few years for Jewel Food Stores. So you can imagine, this is my history, you know, of a person in my own family that had this kind of job. That was his job. And I know my father. He had no understanding of what he was doing, and neither did we. We didn't have any idea whatsoever. But this is what he did for a living, and we thought it was okay. Because, you know, you could have all that you wanted in our family, because, you know, this is something, you know, we could eat unlimitedly. We could have whatever we wanted in terms of dead carcasses. And we thought that was opulence. Oh, this is opulence. This is great. But did we know that there were sinful reactions? No. We had no idea. So you can see that the potency of Krishna consciousness is such that you're looking at a person who came from a very degraded background in terms of my association with my family. And here we are today, a devotee in Krishna consciousness. And what was really incredible is that it even transformed my own family. Like my dad, when we would go to visit, one of the first things he insisted upon was that Tadit should cook. She never had a break. We would like party and she'd be in the kitchen slaving away, cooking prasadam, because that's what they wanted. That's also a miracle by the Association of Devotees. So this is what Krishna consciousness can do. So why not take the advantage while we can in this great marathon, this big book distribution marathon, distribute these books profusely and wake people up and let them know, no, it's not all right. It's not all right. This is horrible. Okay? Thank you. Yes, Sir G.
Detroit Temple. You were in Denver and your brother was, I forget his name, the El Vyapi, Michael, was the president of Wisconsin someplace. And your dad, we were at the table eating prasad, and your dad said to all of us, he said, you know, Michael's got a nice place. But even better than Michael's place is Emil's place, Denver. That's a very nice place. But Joey's got the best place.
Yeah.
It was the Detroit Temple. It was the wedding of Naikatma and Jagajanani, 82, 83, I can't remember. And he was so happy. All of his sons were there. His devotee sons.
Yeah.
I think the non-devotee, the other boys were there, girls. And he was so happy. But he was glorifying that Emil's got the best place. Of course. I mean, Joey's got the best place. Of course, now, he'd be even more happy that Emil's got the greatest place. New Dwarka Dham Ki Jai.
Yeah, such is noi, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice research you did, and it's amazing, shocking.
Yeah.
And all the descriptions that you gave. I was yesterday at the promenade in Santa Monica, and there was a group of kids, like about 7 or 8 animal rights. And as I was just passing by, I was not in purpose standing there, but just passing by, a man asked the question. He said, are you, so you don't eat meat? And the man said, actually, I do eat meat. He said, what? He said, I mean, you're doing this and you're eating meat? And he just like didn't know what to say after that.
Yeah.
And this, I think it's the same group. We went to Northridge, and Bhakta Eric also asked the same questions. You know, we eat meat. So it's all like washy-washy and makes a lot of contradictions. Anyway, the point that I want to make also is that when you mention about a wake-up call, I was wondering, we are the biggest consumers as a Krishna devotees for milk, yogurt, cheese, and so many things. Are there any plans in the future for us to upgrade to go a little bit in such a way that the man that was glorifying or the magazine that was glorifying all, everything about Govindas will say at the end, and by the way, these persons, they stand, they don't even buy, they don't even consume from those people who are mistreating the animals.
Yeah.
So my point is that, can you imagine if he will make that point? This guy is going really far away, so austere. So my question is there any ways that in the future maybe you have plans for options to be really the leaders, the ones who speak about no violence, ahimsa, and protection of the cows?
Well, there's a lot to be said about that. I think that in terms of that specific idea of protection of cows, I did have a conversation with Tukaram on two occasions, and I did mention to him that when he gets himself up and going at that property that they're at down south over here, that the LA Temple would like to be involved in purchasing cows. So he told me that as soon as they get themselves in a position where that's possible, then the LA Temple, he'll take us and we'll sponsor cows at that particular place. So we will, that is the future of us. And I told him that right away, we'd be willing to sponsor at least, you know, a couple of cows, if not more, whatever he can handle. So it all comes down to what manpower he has there. And whatever he does have now, it just covers what he needs in Laguna Beach. But the future is there like that. So yes, we should be able to do that in the future. Hopefully soon, because we're ready. Yeah. Well, this is one thing that Prabhupada said, you know, in terms of that, and that is, you know, we're not for this or that. In other words, this is not what we are. We don't want to get into that in terms of like, okay, we realize the atrocities are going on, but our business in this process of all these atrocities is Krishna consciousness. In other words, like I said, they may be a vegan, they may not eat, you know, only drink ahimsa milk, but they do a lot of other stuff. You know, they drink alcohol, they have illicit sex, you know, they probably do the gamble. They could be doing so many other things that are not appropriate. So Papa really didn't want us to be this or to be that. He wanted us to be in the middle, on our own. He actually says that. His Papa actually said that it's us and everybody. Now, that's a little bit tough to swallow, but that's what it means. It means Krishna consciousness. This is really what we want to profess. And in the course of, like, trying to be socially correct, you know, this is very pressing on us. You know, if we want to be accepted in mainstream society, we have to sometimes take a look at social, you know, pressures. Not that we have to be that way, but we have to take those into consideration. Like here at the buffet, when we first started out, we didn't have anything vegan. In fact, I recall myself saying, no way, man, we are not going vegan. We're doing, you know, our thing. But we could see that a lot of our people that were coming were pressing us more and more and more. So, okay, so we kind of like did that. We kind of thought, oh, it's for health. It's for, you know, saving, protecting animals, you know, making a statement. But you can see that even though we're making that statement and we're professing it, still, nothing's slowing down. Animals being butchered left and right. In fact, it says here that regardless of what's happening, the amount of turkeys being killed every year is maintaining the same. No matter how much we get out there with signs, no matter pitta, whatever they're doing, you know, they're doing so much, more than we are in that field. We don't do a fraction of what they do. And still, we can see it's not stopping. If anything, it's increasing. You know, it doesn't stop. So really, for us, what we really need to do, take seriously. I mean, if we would take seriously Krishna consciousness, and we ourselves would execute Krishna consciousness seriously, this is how we can change the world. This is the real, this is the remedy. This is really what it is. It's nothing else. It's not trying to stop gap this or that, but it's serious execution of Krishna consciousness. Because, like I said, it changed my life that to the point where I think any of that kind of activity is abominable. One time I got a video about some guy from Pitta got into a slaughterhouse, cow killing. I couldn't watch it. It was so disturbing, so disgusting and atrocious. I couldn't watch it for maybe 1 minute without being physically, tormented, upset. Now, that's called a change of mind. What about Magrari the hunter? You know, half-killed animals. Narada Muni, he stopped completely. So really, this is the remedy, is Krishna consciousness. And if we take it serious, the result will be there. Yeah.
So it's going to take a lot more than just trying to educate people about the atrocities and animal slaughter, but to get them to change their way.
Yeah.
The ignorance of you, like you have, is just so intense.
Deep. They need something to wake them up, to spark them. Yeah. Totally. Balaram.
A wake-up call. This is a wake-up call. Is what happened just a few weeks ago in the Philippines.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a true story.
Yeah.
It's a 10,000. They approximate about 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Died in the record-holding typhoon, Aina. And it's actually named Yolanda. And what I share with my people, you know, because I'm originating from the Philippines, and at my job, they have concern. They said, what happened to your Filipino people? And I said, wow, that's the record holder. And actually, in history, if I can take you back some thousands of years ago, there's another typhoon that happened in India, 10 times stronger than Yolanda. And that typhoon's name is, a guy's name is powerful, Sambartaka. And actually, it because this bluish boy, he started to change the worship of the gods to a hill, to a sacred hill.
Yeah.
And this boy actually is not ordinary. So what the gods, the king of the gods was so angry, he sent this typhoon that is sent during destruction. Something like Yolanda that you see people die. The U.S. Marines came to the Philippines and there were dead people in the streets. They were helping. But this boy was there and he lifted a hill with his tiny finger and protected the whole townsmen. Actually, he's a coward boy. But the gods understood that he's not ordinary. The Philippine typhoon lasted for 2 days. This lasted over 7 days. It blasted the water type, everything that you can imagine. You see all the houses torn down. The whole hill was umbrellaed, the residents of the town. And seeing this, the God, he actually went down and said, this boy is not ordinary. So he actually revealed this boy is actually revealed. You can Google it. And they said, what's his name? I never heard that. Yeah, what's his name? His name is Krishna.
Yeah.
And actually, that boy came back 500 years ago in actually the Philippines, somewhere, it's in the south of the Philippines, not in the north. Because in the north, they practice these prayers that actually this same boy came back 500 years ago, and he said, you can get the same protection as this boy lifting that hill by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wow. Yeah, that's a true story. And actually, you get that protection in this age, the same time as that town was saved. Google it. It's a true story.
Yeah. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
You know, on a mundane perspective also, they claim, scientists claim, that the ozone is the cause of a lot of this particular problem. You know, of all the bad weather, the changes of atmosphere and weather because of the ozone layer being affected. And scientists say, you know, whatever, that one of the major causes of the ozone layer is due to the cows and the stool of cows and all that going into the air. And it's because of the slaughterhouses. You see, that's a big part of the ozone layer being affected. Isn't that? I mean, those of you that read, don't you, isn't it the, what is that, the gases? Yeah, the methane or whatever it is? Yeah, those gases create a problem in the ozone layer. And because they're maintaining so many slaughterhouses around the world to the tune of 60 billion creatures being killed on an annual basis around the world, can you just imagine how many that means and how much blood is being let out by these demons? Okay, it's 8:45. We have to go. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.